Okay, Rabbi Yisai, we are holding on Daf Lamed Hey Omed Aleph, the top line. We just got finished talking about Shmuel on the Omed Beis. Just looking back at Shmuel on the Omed Beis, 5-6 lines from the bottom, Shmuel said, "V'kulon tzrichos lahamtin shloisha chadoshim." And we explained who's that kulon, that means all girls who are ketanois, that are marrying now for the second time, they have to wait between the cessation of the first marriage until the beginning of the new marriage. They have to wait 3 months. Why? As the Gemara says at the top of the Yomid, Gzeira goes Rabban and Ketana Mishim Gedoyla. Even though a Ketana cannot possibly become pregnant, but nevertheless, since Gedoylas can, and since Gedoylas we have to wait 3 months, so by Ketana they were also Goyzer, they have to wait 3 months. However, they were not Goyzer by a Gyoris or Mishachreris Ketana, because those are considered to be Dovish Leishchiach, Le Gozer Baraban. Frank Dimar. Yes, Rabbi.
Now, I did not understand if it changed, but if it waits 3 months, after she becomes pregnant, how do we know to which baby belongs to who, to which mom?
Okay, so I thank you for raising that, because we didn't express it adequately. Anytime a woman is married, we have the hope and expectation, she certainly has the hope and expectation, that she'll become pregnant. After a woman, chas v'sholem, becomes divorced or becomes an almana, she may not realize it, but she may be pregnant. It's not necessary. Just, thank you. Don't tell me about it. She may not realize it, or maybe she is pregnant. What's going to happen is, what happens if, let's say, her husband passed away? She's going to be a nice lady. She's not going to remarry immediately. She's going to wait for 1 month. After that 1 month, after shloshim are over, she found her chassan. Thank you. She gets remarried. Now, 9 months later, she's going to have a baby. People are not going to know at that time who is the baby from. Is the baby from the first husband that she lived with, who passed away, or is it from the second husband? And now, the new child that's going to be born, Mir Tashem, in another 8-9 months, whenever it is, we won't know whether it's from the first husband or second husband. So that's always a concern, and that's why any woman that is of... who has the capacity to go and have a child, we have to wait 3 months between the end of the first marriage and the beginning of the second marriage. Good? Understandable?
Yes, that's clear, but in the case Thank of you. The two babies in exchange, I will not know which baby belongs to which husband. That's the question.
So that's the reason why you have to wait. That's why you're talking about in our Mishnah.
I wait that she's pregnant, but I still don't know to whom the baby belongs to, if to A or B.
Okay, so that's a very good question. So you're going back on the Mishnah, back on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. What happened over there was that Reuven and Shimon each married respectively Rachel and Leah. Reuven was married to Rachel, Shimon was married to Leah. Now that was the time of Eirusin. At the time of Nisuin, months later, that night they both decided to have Nisuin the same night, and they wake up the next morning and they realize, there was a major boo-boo over here, that Reuven lived with his brother's wife and Shimon lived with his brother's wife. So now, normally I would say, oi, it's terrible, it's gefährlich, oi, rachmun litzlan, let's reunite the husband and wives correctly on the next night, so that everything should be kaseder. Unfortunately, says our Mishnah, we cannot do that, because maybe Reuven and Shimon already impregnated their brother's wives. And if we're going to allow Reuven and Shimon to live with their proper wives now, 9 months later, the ladies are going to give birth, people are going to say, I don't know whether this is Reuven's seed or whether it's a seed from Shimon. That's what we say, let's wait 3 months, let's see if she's pregnant, because usually after 3 months, you can tell a woman is pregnant or not, because it's recognizable. And then we'll see if she's pregnant, then we'll say, okay, now she can live with her husband, because we know it's the seed of the first guy. In other words, of the incorrect mating. And if she's not pregnant, then no, it's nothing to worry about. Then she can go marry, she can live with her regular husband. Okay? Anyway, back to our Gemara. Is there such a gezeira v'tanan? We learned in the Mishnah. We're going back to our Mishnah. Again, on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, the one that we're just speaking about. in the case of the Reuven and Shimon, if Leah and Ruchel and Leah were both only 10 years old, they weren't 12 years old, and now, unfortunately, there was this terrible boo-boo that Reuven lived with the wrong wife and Shimon lived with the wrong wife, so you can have them return to their proper husbands that same night or the next night. What's the reason why? Because since they're ketanos, they cannot become pregnant anyway. So I'm not worried about the fact that it's going to be a shayla of being mavchin from the first husband, the second husband. I have nothing to worry about because they're ketanos. Didn't you just say now that we're goyis, they're ketanos, shem gedoylos? This was just a one-time hirosho. Pray tomorrow. Hirosho gives you the sound that this actually happened. We're hoping that this was only a theoretical possibility, not that this actually really happened. The Reuven and Shimon, they switched wives by mistake. Come on, this is a little bit of a remote situation. We have to deal with it because all halachas you have to deal with, but hopefully this never occurred. And you tell me, did this really happen? That you had 16 chatois, they had the 4 avedas, it didn't really happen. So tomorrow, he didn't really mean... Yes, sir.
Didn't this happen with Yaakov Avinu when he was tricked with Leah?
Not with a brother.
They weren't Ketanim, but they were...
What you're saying...
It was a mix-up.
What you're saying is correct. It wasn't a mix-up as much as Lavan unfortunately tricked, and Yaakov and the Rochel and Leah being so sympathetic to one another and so thoughtful of one another that Rochel gave her simonim to Leah. What you're saying is correct. We're talking about the specifics of our Mishnah where we had a 4 chattas per person, 16 chattas altogether situation, where not only was there a problem of an eshes ish, a problem of a chais isha, a problem of eshes ach, and a problem of nida. None of those 4 issues arose in the case of Yaakov living together with Leah instead of with Rachel, because he wasn't married yet to Rachel, so he wasn't marrying the achois ishtoi. There was no other ach on the horizon here. Esav was elsewhere and he wasn't involved, so there was no eshes ach issue, there was no achois isha, there was no eshes ish, and she wasn't an either. Our mission tells us, however, this could theoretically happen. From what our Gemara said in Beginning of Rav, it sounds like it actually did happen. The two brothers mixed up with the two sisters. So therefore, Gemara said, did it really happen? Chlad havia. So Gemara, no, it doesn't mean mamash rosh, it means gehoi rosh hoisa. The chilif loy shchiach. What he really means to say is that this type of situation where there will be such a mix-up between husbands and between sisters and brothers and all that, and this is such a remote type of thing, they weren't goyzer. Just like by the case of the Gyoris Ketana, Mishachar's Ketana, they said they weren't goyzer because it's really off the wall in terms of the likelihood of this happening. So the Chum said, when it happens, we'll worry about it then. And therefore, they were not makpid. And they said, these Ketanois can go and remarry immediately, live immediately with their husbands. They don't have to wait the 3 months. So that's how the Gemara is poishes this whole thing. By the way, it's just to lighten up a little bit because we keep on talking about that Nebuch Reuven died and then Shimon died and all that throughout our Masecht because of Yibam. We say that Reuven married first and then Reuven passed away and then Shimon wanted to be the Yabim. So on Shabbos someone said, I don't know where he took this from, but he said that's the reason why he had the bracha in the Torah. We have such rachmanis for Reuven. Every single day Reuven is dying in all these Yibam cases. None of these Yibam cases should ever exist. He should live and Shimon should live and they shouldn't be mix ups and he shouldn't have to have Yibam, he shouldn't have to have Chalitza. He should always be gizot. Alright, anyway, I asked him, he didn't know what the source of it was, but it was cute. Lishnachrenim. So now we're starting a new version of Shmuel. Amrila, Lishnachrena Amrila. Amr Shmuel. Kulan Tzrich Lahamdish Loisha Chadoshim. Sounds so far the same. But you'll see it continues on. Chut Migyosh Vishach Gedoyla. Ooh. A regular, normal Gedoyla has to wait 3 months. Migyosh Vishach Mishachreris Gedoyla. They don't have to wait the 3 months. So what we've done is this Shmuel is different than the first Shmuel in that we've changed the word Ketana to the word Gedoyla. So the way we learned the first Shmuel was that by all ketanos you have to wait 3 months, with the exception of Yer Mishkaris Ketana. Now we're saying, no. Kulin Tzrichas Hamtin means all gedoilos have to wait 3 months, except for Yer Mishkaris Gedoilos. But what's the Dimai Ketana? Ketana Basi Son, Tzrichas Hamtin. You don't have to wait anything, Yilu Chadoshim. Why not? Because of the fact that she cannot possibly become pregnant, so you don't have to worry about being mavchin bin zera lezera, so she can remarry immediately. So again, the Gemara asks the same, Kasha b'mai, what is Shmuel talking about by this ketana that you're saying, ein tzrichah l'hamtin? Ibn miyun, who amri Shmuel chodizim, Shmuel already said that once. Ibn get omer kama Shmuel, the omer Shmuel, the same Shmuel that we had on the omer base, miyana boy, ein tzrichah l'hamtin, shloisha chadoshim, if the first marriage ended as a result, after all, she's a ketana. And if she was Mimma Enes, you don't have to wait the 3 months. No. If you're telling me that Shmuel is saying now, only by Gedoiles, but by Ketanes, if he's talking about Mion, he already said it once. Elamai, you're talking about Nosson Leged. Dear Shmuel said, you do have to wait 3 months, and you're telling me now Ketanes don't have to wait. So it doesn't stim either by the case of the Mion or by the case of the Ged. Says, well, you're right, Elam is talking about a situation of Nus, that she did not have the benefit of marriage, either Deraisa or Derabanan. In such a situation, when a Ketana ends that relationship, she doesn't have to wait the 3 months. So tomorrow, Uznus Ketana Leshchiach. Gemara explains why. Since it's Nus Mektana, it's not Shchiach, so we don't have to go and be Goyzer. At the top of the Gemara we said, we are Goyzer Ketanis Mishim Gedoilos. Here we're saying that Nus Mektana is not Shchiach, so we're not... Only by magic. Yes. So by Znus we were not Shchiach, so we were not Goyzer. Giyoz Mishchar is the Shchiach Behuz Nus. Linkzor, why did you start off by saying that there's a difference between the Gedoilos, between Klal Yisrael, Yisraelios, where we are Goyzer, and we're not Goyzer by Giyoz Mishchar's Gedoilos? So before, according to the first Lashon, we're talking about Ketana, that you can have a Gidyodis Ketana join the ranks of Klal Yisrael. That's not an everyday occurrence. That's a remote situation. However, here we're talking about a Gidyodis Gedoila. Gidyodis Gedoila, the Goytis, unfortunately, as we know, are not very ethical when it comes to these Inyanim. Premarital stuff goes on all the time. So we should certainly be Goytis, should certainly be Noivis. Have the Gemara Ligzar, who the Amakir Rabbi Yosi, he holds Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yosi, the son of the Rebbeis, Agiyoris Vashemuya, Vashivcha, Shenivdu Vashenizkaya, Vashenishtacharu, Tzriches Lahamtin, Gimel Chadosh. Rabbi Yudataka says, Yo. The Giyoris and the Shivcha, they do have to wait 3 months. Not like Shmuel. Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yosi, Matali Yoris and Nosmiyat. What's taka the svara? Amarava my time in Rabbi Yosi, because of the Isha Mizana Misha Meshes, but Moich Kadesh Loitis Abar. All of these goitis, they're all using a moich, we would call today a contraceptive, a birth control, to make sure they don't become mubaris, because they're not married, they're living as a hefker with the men, and therefore they are going to take precautions that they should not become mubaris. That being the case, now when they become gyorisin, you don't have to worry, they're not pregnant, they can go, they're in Srichus Hat. Only a bite. Vishla mi giyoris kim de dat li giyura im anatra nafsha kedi lhafcha min zera shenir vikdush min zera shenir shroi vikdush. A regular giyoris has to go through a whole conversion process. As you know, if you go to a Rav today or to a Bez and you want to go and convert, first they try to talk you out of it, and then when they see that you're sincere, then they give you a whole year of learning and performing and doing and all that, and after a year or whatever, they test an individual to see whether they really are sincere and whether they know the halacha, etc. So, as this girl is waiting to become a giyoris, she knows that she's going to become a giyoris. She's hopefully going to find the shidduch, and therefore she's going to menatre nafsha. She's going to protect herself either by not living with goyim, or if she's living with goyim, to put the moich, to use some sort of contraceptive, so she should not become pregnant. I can understand that. Same thing is shvuya v'shivchanami. The shami mimarayu umenatri nafshayu. A shivcha doesn't become free from one day to the next. It must be that the shivcha has been doing a very, very good job. And the Odin says, you know, Nancy's done such a wonderful job over all these years. You've been such a great maid, such a great servant. I'm going to give you now the ultimate reward that I'm going to free you. But it's not going to happen tomorrow. And, you know, too much freedom too quickly, that's not good for you. So therefore, in 6 months from now, 3 months from now, whatever. after Pesach. Oh, exactly. So therefore, she knows she's going to become free sooner or later. The Shvuya also knows that there's now negotiations, deliberations ransom. About freeing her and the ransom. So therefore, each one of the Shem, Marayu, Benafshin, Avshayu, they too ought to protect themselves, and they're either not going to live with Avodim or the Goyim, or they're going to put a Moichin to make sure they don't become pregnant. After all, we're talking about any type of girl that became Mishukhreres. One of the ways that a Goyte can become Mishukhreres, if she happens to be a Shivcha, is if you have Yoytze V'Shem V'Ayin. Nobody expects their Shem V'Ayin to be plucked out or to be damaged or to be ruined or whatever. This is something that happened as a shock. So therefore, they weren't able to go Menachem Nafshayu, and we're allowing them to go and remarry immediately without the benefit of the three Chadoshim.
I'm sorry, what is that, Shem V'Ayin?
Shem V'Ayin means a tooth and an eye. And the halacha is, if you own a Shivcha Knas, which means a non-Jewish woman slave, if by accident or on purpose you go and give her a patch, and in the doing the patch, you knock out the eye or the tooth of that individual, that person goes out immediately. It's not only by a girl, it simply would apply to a slave by a man. So, whatever. You're talking about either an Eved Kanani, you're talking about Shivcha Kananis, the Loch is the Yoytze B'Shem Bayi. This does not apply to an Eved Ivri or to Amavriya, only to. So now, this Shivcha that we said here, the Brayso was like Yoytze V'Shivcha Shivcha Shinishtacheru. So the Shivcha could be Nishtacheru just because the Odin happens to like that Shivcha and wants to give her ultimate prize to go and free her. That's fine. So therefore, she expected it. But she didn't expect to be freed under this type of situation of Shein V'Ayin, that he wasn't. This was not planned. This was not premeditated. Therefore, she didn't know to go and protect herself, and therefore she didn't use a mic. So therefore, this type of girl should have to wait 3 months if and when she becomes the Shukhraris before she can get married or live with someone. You're going to go and tell me this type of thing happens, then Rabbi Yossi, in other words, although Rabbi Yossi said in the Braisa that all of these women, what's the lashon of Rabbi Yossi? Matali orish v'nasa miyad. Maybe in Rabbi Yossi there is in fact an exception to the rule. Exception to the rule is the Shein V'Ayin case. He's only talking about a shivcha that was nishrachera because of finding favor in the eyes of her master. Therefore, she expected it, and this was something that was planned. But in Chanami, the case where it's memela that happens without being planned, maybe quite Rabbi Yossi. But now we learned in the Mishnah, Anusim Mafuta Tzricha L'Hamtik Yimah Kadoshim De Rabbi Yehuda. Anusim Mafuta talk about a regular girl, regular woman, Anusa that was never forced by a man, or Mafuta that was a consensual relationship. After that happens, you gotta wait 3 months, because maybe she became pregnant. Rabbi Yossi Matali Arisli Nasim Miyad. Rabbi Yossi is Matali immediately. And there we don't have a situation where she went and prepared herself, and especially you're talking about Mela Mafuta, maybe she prepared herself. But Anusa, she didn't go and prepare herself, right? She was forced, she was violated. That being the case, she didn't go and put a moich in. So why can she go marry immediately? Abaye says that any woman that is in a situation where she's mizana, in other words, she's living with a man, with her will, against her will, but not through the benefit of marriage, she doesn't want to become pregnant, and therefore what does she do? After the Mises Nus is over, she's going to be Mesapach. She's going to turn herself upside down 3 or 4 times and do whatever.
Drain out the Shechvazer.
Exactly. So the Shechvazer should come out, should drain, and she should not become pregnant. And therefore, that's what everybody says, I don't have to worry about it. Any one of these things, an Anusa or a Mafuta, or in the case of the Shivcha, under all circumstances, if she wants to go and eventually go back to and marry a normal husband, etc., or go back to her husband, whatever it is, she's going to make sure to do any type of mechanics to make sure she doesn't become, I'm sorry?
Maneuvers,
that's the right term. Any types of maneuvers that she should not become pregnant, therefore I'm not worried. Vidach, so what is Rabbi Yehuda? What are the other Tanam hold? Chashin Hashem and Nesaf, she taka did calisthenics, and she jumped up and down 3 or 4 times, the somersaults and headstands and all that. But
it's not a guarantee, though.
Exactly, that's the pshat. That's why they disagree with Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, maybe you're right, 90%, 95%, 98%, but Balamai says it's not always effective, and therefore that's why you always have to wait the 3 months. Fine. And now we're at the very tail end of the Mishnah that we had back on Lamed Gimel Lamed Pei. What does it say at the end of the Mishnah? The Mohayu Kahanis. Remember, we're talking about the mix-up over here between the two husbands, the two brothers, and the two sisters. And now what happens that they lived with the wrong one. The Mohayu Kahanis Nipsul Menatum. Now, what does all of that mean? So here too, we're going to go through a couple of somersaults until we come to the final chat. So you remember Kahanis? Kahanis in Yisraelis Loi. You're suggesting that we're talking about Kohanis. And the Gemara is assuming Kohanis means that they were born Kohanis. Not that they are married to Kohanim, but Rashi says, Benois Kohanim. These are the daughters of Kohanim. So he's saying about them, as a result of this terrible boo-boo, they're going to be Apostle Min HaTruma.
The Chalolos, basically. Is that it?
It's Nischala. Yeah. Okay. Freit Gemara, Kohanis in Yisrael is loy. Doesn't this halacha also apply to Yisraelis? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Let me say in the Rashi, Kohanos, a little bit past halfway down, Kohanos, Benois Kohanim, Yisraelis Loi, Bitmiya, only Kohanos, not Yisraelis, Hoil the Ashes Koyenhi, Afilabas Yisrael, Nami Asura, Labala Koyen. This is not only a din of Kohanos, this also applies to Nishay Koyhanim. That if you have a Yisrael who's married to a Koyen, and unfortunately lived with another man outside of marriage, even though it was totally a boo-boo, it was an oinus, it was a shoygi, no intentions, chas v'shalom whatsoever, she's never been crying for the last 24 hours, and never this terrible mistake happened, makes no difference, the halacha is, the nishay koyin, she becomes nischala, even if it's berotzayin, and therefore she cannot go and eat, continue with kahuna, and not eat truma, and all the rest. So why does that Mishnah only say koyhanois, even nishay koyhanim? So you're right. Eim imhoyu nishay koyhanim. Change the lashon of the Mishnah. That's what we really meant. So when the word says imhoyu, it doesn't mean eima that you have to really go and modify it and cross out the word. That's what we mean koyhanois. We mean nishay koyhanim. Ah, so frek timora nishay koyhanim in nishay Yisraelim. Loi, you're only talking about nishay koyhanim and not nishay Yisraelim. Ma'amar of Amram, Hamilza, Omelon of Sheshes, and Arinu, La'inim Masisim. Rav Sheshes taught us this following halacha, and subsequently he showed us that we learned it in a Mishnah, that Eishes Yisrael, Shenensa, Avabishim Muteres, Labala, Psul de Kahuna. Eishes Yisrael, Shenensa. You have a Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Both of them happen to be Yisraelim. He's a Yisrael and she's a Yisraelis. And unfortunately, Nensa means a Sheigetz came over and Nebuch was ma'anes her, Rachmon al-Islam, violated her. She's allowed to return to her husband because she didn't do anything wrong. She was Nebuch a victim of this violator. So she's with Teslamal. However, she would be possible to a Kohen. Now, at the moment, it doesn't really matter that she's possible to a Kohen. She's an Ashish. She's married to her husband. But what happens if eventually her husband dies, or if her husband were to give her a get, and now she's free to go and remarry? Okay, I'll get she can go and marry a Kohen anyway. Fine, she's a Grusha. However, what happens if, in fact, her husband died, and her money is also to Kohen Gadol, but she's not also to a Kohen Hedger?
Right.
Would she be able to go and marry now a regular Kohen, since at the time that she was violated, she was an Ashish Yisrael? Says Rav Sheish, and Eishes Yisrael Shenensa, even though now she's Materes Labala because her husband is a Yisrael, but she's going to be Pasul Kahuna for all years subsequently if and when her husband were to pass away, and then that she would want to go and marry a Kohen because of the fact that she was Nischala through this person that was Ma'aneser.
Even if it was a Jew?
Even if it's a Jew, even if it's a Yiddish Shegit, not only a Goy Yiddish Shegit, but a Yiddish Shegit.
And also, if she doesn't have children and she goes back to her father's house, she'd be possible.
Wait one moment.
Okay. Does she have to wait 3 months before she goes back to her husband?
If she's an Ashes Koyin, she has to wait for another 50 years.
If she's an Ashes Israel, and God forbid she gets.
Then that's a very good question. Then we go back to the Mishnah, the Braisa that we quoted a few lines ago. What did we learn back in the Gemara? We had for Hatanan. We go back about 6-7 lines. The middle of the line, you see the asterisk.
Yes.
For Hatanan, Anusa Umafuta. Your case is the Anusa case that she was Nensa, she was violated. He said, no, she can go and remarry immediately. You asked, why can she marry
me?
Because she makes those maneuvers. She's Miss Hapakas.
Right, but in this case, she's married already.
She's married already.
Exactly. And she's been violated.
And therefore, she has to wait. A contribute to 3 months.
Right.
And
unless she does somersaults.
And Rabbi Yossi says if you do the somersault, she's more to marry. But if a contributor, you would not be able to. You got to wait because maybe when it's hapcha, yofa, yofa. And as you said before, it's not foolproof, right?
Right.
Exactly. So that's the machloek between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So bottom line is, it's not
she's
only the sheikh.
It's not even her.
She's not being punished. Just
well,
we
right.
Yes, continue.
No, because she's sort of like being punished that she has to wait 3 months.
Social policy. You want to know whether she's
right,
paying her for one guy or the other.
We've given breaks to all other kinds of categories.
This is not a punishment. This is not a penalty.
It's a policy.
We have to know who the child is.
Right.
Is the child from the first one and from the second
right.
one? What happens if subsequently this husband and wife have more children? Will and afterwards mm-hmm. one brother wants to marry the sister? Would she be able to go marry her?
They grow up, and then this one's wife dies, and then there's an Ishas Ach.
Exactly.
You know, all the Arias stuff of the last 5 weeks.
We have to know exactly who's the father, who the mother is. Otherwise, if the mother we know because she's pregnant. But the father, we got to know. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So, it's not only a Neshe Kohanim problem, it's even a Neshe Yisrael problem. Not now there's a problem, there will be a problem eventually if and when she desires to go and marry a Kohen in future years, a future Zivi. So, Omar Rava, so let's go back to the Mishnah. Hoki Kohen, the Pshat, the Mishnah is Azoy.
Right.
If you have Taka, the Loshana Mishnah, a Bas Kohen, she was a daughter of a Kohen. And before she got married, since she was single, she ate Truma. After she married the Yisrael, during the period of time that they were married, she's not allowed to eat Truma. What happens if her husband now dies or gives her a get and she doesn't have any children from that husband? Zera'inla. Then she's allowed to Veshova El Beis Aviyah Kinurel Nilechem Aviyah Toichem. Then she's allowed to go and eat Truma because now she reverts to original status like she was in her pre-marital days. However, what our Mishnah is telling us is that if she unfortunately lived with the brother-in-law by mistake, it wasn't intentional, by mistake, it's an oinus situation. Nevertheless, this oinus situation causes that if and when eventually her husband passes away, and now she's still a bas kohen, and she returns to Beis Aviyah, Veshava Beis Aviyah Kinurel, she's not allowed to eat mi Beis Aviyah Toicha. Why not? Because of the fact that she unfortunately became nishala through that living with the other brother-in-law. Just to touch on the fuse for last Rashi over here. Nifsul Matruma Debeina Shayu, three lines before the wide lines. Shem Yom Muzbala. Mizera Ainla, her husband eventually dies and she has no children from that husband. Aina Shavu Basavia Kinura, she does not return to her father's home for purposes. She returns there to go live there. That's not a problem. But she cannot eat Truma. The Pasala Haiznus. Nus means any type of living with a person outside of marriage, even though this wasn't snus the way we think of snus, an intentional violation. It was a mistake. Okay, so another sugi. But bottom line is, that's what our Mishnah meant when it said, what's the din? Nifsul min ha-truma. That's interesting. There was another gear on the side, min ha-kahuna. Based on the sefer, by the conclusion of the Gemara, the maskan is, it's not min ha-truma. It's not min ha-kahuna. The nifsul min ha-truma. That if and when her husband dies, and now she returns back to her father's home, she can no longer eat truma, because we do not say melechem aviyah toichel, because of the fact that she Nebuch was Nensa through that this oinus with the husbands. Hamluch Abachin, 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 and we start the new parak. Ha'choyos Yevem Toy. Mitzvah to be continued tomorrow, everyone. Thank you. Starting a brand new parak on Daf Lamed Hey Omid Beis at the very top of the Omid, where the Mishnah begins. Ha'choyleitz Yevem Toy. A person gives a chalitza to his Yevama. V'nimtzeis Muberes, and afterwards they find out, oh, she was pregnant. Now, before we continue on, what the person did was shaloi kahalocha, because we learned already yesterday, in all circumstances, unless you're talking about a giyoris and a shachreres, and the gabi, whether you're talking about a ketana bas Yisrael, depends on the two lishoinis that we had yesterday in Shmuel, but under normal circumstances, you're not supposed to go and marry a young lady until after 3 months have passed since the passing of her husband and or the receipt of a get. In this case, obviously, if you're talking about Yevama, her husband passed away, they should have waited 90 days, 3 months, and then they'd be able to tell whether or not she's Mu'ubaris, because after 3 months, it's already Hukra Vlad, you can tell whether she's pregnant or not. They didn't wait. They gave a chalitza right after Shiva, right after Shloshim, whenever it was. And then subsequently, they realized, this lady was in fact Mu'ubaris from the first husband. Well, that's, in a sense, if you will, good news, because hopefully she's going to have a child, and everything is going to be great. And therefore, we can have in our Mishnah now whether or not the Vlad will be a Vlad Ben Shel Kayama, or it's not going to be a Vlad Shel Kayama, and that's what the Mishnah is going to discuss. So a person gave a chalitza to his Yevama, and now we find out that she's Mu'ubaris. The older, and Baruch Hashem, she had a child, obviously subsequent to the chalitza. Bizman Shavlad Shel Kayama, if it turns out that the child Baruch Hashem is a viable child and afterwards grows up to be a great Talmud Chacham or otherwise, so then the entire chalitza that happened was really totally invalid, ineffective, it was nothing. And therefore, who mutter b'kroi b'yisrael, he's allowed to go marry her relatives, v'hi muteres b'kroi vav, she's allowed to marry his relatives, v'loi pasul min hakahuna, and there is no psul min hakahuna. Now, on this halacha of psul min hakahuna, that's the easiest one to deal with, because as we know, we've learned in the Gemara before, that since it says in the Torah that a kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha, and the pasuk specifically refers to the isha grusha mi isha, Loi, he's not allowed to go and take. Okay. Exactly. The previous psukim already talked about the Isha, and therefore the word Isha, Grusha, Mino Isha, it was unnecessary, and the Gemara learned from that Isha to go and be Marbe a Chalutza, but the Gemara said that it's Midra Bonon, not Mina Torah, and therefore the Drosha is a Drosha of an Asmachta. So, bottom line is, a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Chalutza Midra Bonon. Now, this young lady got a Chalutza. That's how our Mishnah begins. But since this chalitza was not effective, simply because Baruch Hashem, she did have a child from the first husband, so the whole chalitza was nothing. Obviously, at this point, she's not interested in marrying a kohen. Excuse me. She'd be allowed to marry a kohen because there was a vlad shel kayama, so that she does not fall liyibim or lechalitza. So if she does decide now or at some time in the future that she wants to marry a kohen, no problem. Now before we continue on, what is this mutter b'krei v'seh v'hi muteres b'krei vav all about? So the Mishnah really doesn't go into it. Let's just go and turn a little bit ahead to Mem Amid Aleph, and you'll see on the bottom of the Amid, last line of Mem Amid Aleph, is still in the tail end of the first volume of the Art Scroll. The last line, you see, it's Chodesh Yevamtoy. Who also b'kroi v'seh avi asur b'kroi v'seh. Normally, if you give a chalitza, you're also to her relatives, she's also to your relatives. Now, who are those relatives? On top of the Amud Beis, who also b'imah, who b'aim imah, ובאם אביה, ובביתה, ובבסביתה, ובבסמנה, ובאחויסה, בזמן שהיא קיימס, etc., etc. Now, what is all of this about? So if you look at the top Rashi, who אסר כל הנח ארויס דאריסננו. All of these that we are enumerating are דאריסה. Truth of the matter is, אם אימוס מדרבנן, that's שניאויס, and that's at the very beginning of the Gemara, right after the Mishnah. But the point is, the other rois that we're talking about, for instance, the ima and the bita and the bas bita and the bas bina, all of these are deorises. When? The ishtoi, if we're talking about his wife. In other words, the Torah says if a person gets married, automatically he has a package deal. And not only is he married, Baruch Hashem, to his wife, but now he is usher forever to that wife's mother, because that's his shviger. And even if this whole chasana lasts for a day or two, and unfortunately he divorces his wife, or chas v'shalom, his wife passes away, he remains also forever to his mother-in-law. And the same thing would apply if the wife that he married had a daughter from a prior marriage. Torah says, isha vita lo sigale. He's not allowed to go and marry the daughter of the wife. And the same thing applies to the granddaughter. And the same thing applies to achoisa, as long as both of them are still alive. So Dr. Rashi, kol hanach arroyis li'araisin enu b'ishtoi, v'gozrin rabbanim b'chalut sosoi. So now the Chumam went the extra mile, they added on a gzera, and they said the same thing applies not only to a grusha or an almana, but the same thing also applies to a chalutza. So therefore, back to our Mishnah, what that Mishnah told us back on Daf Mem was that a person who gave a chalitza, he becomes oster to her kroivos. So he's not allowed to go and marry her mother. In other words, what would have, might have been, could have been a mother-in-law. It really wasn't a mother-in-law because he only gave a chalitza to her. Anyway, he's not allowed to marry the mother. He's not allowed to marry the daughter. Our Mishnah says that since we're talking about the Vlad was a Vlad Shel Kayama, so the whole chalitza was worthless, and therefore this halacha doesn't apply. It's not Achois Chalutzasi. It's not Eim Chalutzasi. Because it wasn't a chalutza. The whole chalutza was goodish. Now that's if the Vlad is Vlad Shel Kayama. Ain't a Vlad Shel Kayama. What happened to the Vlad is, unfortunately, it was not a viable child. So then we're back to square one, meaning that the person who passed away without Zera, the Zera ain't loy. Then Uven ain't loy. Then what's the halacha? The halacha is, and you have to have Yimar Chalitza. No. So then the Chalitza Lechayra was effective. Who also Bikrayv Vaisel, Vyasur Bikrayvav, just like we had in that Mishnah and Daaf, Mem, Upasla Menakuna, because you had an effective Chalitza. That's the Pashat Pshat in the Mishnah. We'll see in the Gemara, it's not so simple. It'll be a machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. But on the surface, since it turns out, Lima Freya, that she had no Vlad, which was a Vlad Shel Kayama, and therefore the husband passed away without any children. So bottom line is, it was l'chayr an effective chalitza, upasal merakura. Mishnah continues, ha-koinis es yivem toy benimtis mu'uberis. Now we have the same case, but instead of a chalitza, we're talking about a yibum. And once again, we should have waited 3 months, but they didn't wait 3 months, and there was a luchtim. Akoidus yivem, they went, there was miyab yibama, v'nimtza mubaris, and afterwards it turned out that she was mubaris. Now I said before that after the husband passed away, one should not go and marry for 3 months. It could be the gabi chalitza, you could do it within the 3 months, because you're not getting married. But certainly the Kenisa, the case of the Yibam, that's certainly prohibited. And they shouldn't have done that. But anyway, Lamasa, they did. So what happens? According to the event of Nitzim Uberis, and now it turns out she's Uberis after all, the older, and she gave birth, Bismancha Vlad Shel Kayama, if it turns out that Vlad was Vlad Shel Kayama of the first marriage, and therefore, Baruch Hashem, she has Zera from the first husband. So obviously, the Yavam should not have been miyabim her, and therefore, this Yibam was with an Eishes Ach, Shiyesh Loibonim, and therefore, this was an Issa Krisus, and therefore, what she did was a terrible thing, what he did was a terrible thing, and therefore, they're both going to have to go and bring a Karm Chatos on having a making a yibam shaloi b'moka mitzvah on an eishes ach sheyesh leibonim and
it's a
karis.
It's kind of amazing. Why is a chayav korban? A korban would be even shpishogeg. Here it was mazed.
You think they did a mazed?
They did it against the instruction of chachamim. And not, it didn't wait.
Maybe
3 months.
Maybe they didn't ask. Maybe they made a mistake. Maybe they did a poor calculation. Okay. Anyway, the point is, if you look at two lines later, it says a chayav b'korban. We're assuming that this was a shogeg, not that he did intentionally to go and violate the rules and regulations, but rather he made a mistake, and she made a mistake. There are many halachas of Shulchan Aruch that people don't look up the Shulchan Aruch first. They only look it up after. Le'achra ma'isa. Oy, what did I do? Anyway, Hakudis is Yivem Tevinitzu Muberes. Turned out she was Muberes. V'yolda, and she had a child. V'zman she Vlad Shel Kayama, if the Vlad is Baruch Hashem, a viable kid, then the Yavam can no longer live together with Yavama, because obviously she did not fall to Yivam to him in the first place. And therefore, the marriage ends. V'chayav mekarban, and he has to go and bring a carbon. She'll have to bring a carbon because of the boo-boo that they made in this shogeg. V'yim'ein v'lad shel kayama. What happens if the Vlad is not shel kayama? Then yikayim. In other words, he did a good Yivam, and they should continue living together. Everything is fine and dandy. Safik ben Tishal Rishon, Safik ben Shivli Achron. What happens if, in fact, he was kindness Yivam, and then after that, she became pregnant, and we're not sure when she became pregnant. Did she become pregnant from the first husband, or did she become pregnant from the second husband? How come they didn't know? Because even after the Yibam, she only got pregnant, let's say, 2 months later, or whenever it was, and then eventually they had a child, and the child was, for instance, 7 months after the Yibam took place. And the Gemara already in other places, such as Maseches Nida, talks extensively about the fact that you could have a viable child after 7 months, you can have a viable child after 9 months. In the times of Chazal, you could not have a viable child after 8 months. That was a no-no. Of course, today, with modern medicine, modern science, things are different. But that was the case at that time. So now, 7 months after the Yibam, which coincides with 9 months after the time that the original brother, the first brother, passed away, what happened? Baruch Hashem, she gave birth. So now the question is, was she already pregnant when her husband passed away, and therefore she got pregnant a day or two or three before he passed away, and now 9 months later, Baruch Hashem, she had a child from the first husband, or because of the fact that she was Nisiyabim 2 months after her husband passed away? They should have waited 3 months, but they didn't. And now 2 months after the husband passed away, the Yavam lived together with Yavama, and now fast forward 7 months later, the Yavama has a child. So now we are scratching our heads. Who is this child? Is this child from the first husband, or is this child from the second husband? And that's the reason why the Chacham made this din, that you should wait for 3 months. Anyway, Safi ben Tishla Rishon, Safi ben Chivul Achrei, Yoitzi v'avlan kosher. The Yavam cannot live together with Yavama because it's very possible that this child is from the first husband. And therefore the first husband was an Eishes Ach Sheyesh Leibanim. Eishes Ach Sheyesh Leibanim is an Issek Kares. So obviously he cannot continue living with her. But the status of the child is kosher Mimadavshach. Because if it was from the first husband, no, Baruch Hashem, it was Reuven's child. Yechi Reuven, Val Yomois, this will be a continuation of Reuven. If it turns out that this is from Shimon, so it's Shimon's child. But it's not a question of Chas Hashem and Imam Zaydis, because of the fact that the child was... No problem. Have a wonderful day. Hatzlacha Rab, Zay Yemech. Yes, sir.
We'll find out.
How can you find out?
She was grief-stricken and she didn't know.
And sometimes they have this. Sometimes
some women bleed when they're pregnant. They don't know if they don't realize they're pregnant. They think it's needle blood. It's a bleeding spotting from the pregnancy.
Yeah, there are women that say after 4 or 5 months, I didn't know I was pregnant, and it turns out they've been pregnant for several months already. So that's not foolproof. Right. It's not dispositive. Anyway, getting back to our Mishnah, so we have a situation where the child is zikr kosher. Why is the child zikr kosher? Give him a manavshach. If the child happens to be from the first husband, it's from the first husband. If it turns out the first husband didn't have a child, and therefore this is from the second husband, and the Yavam did what he was supposed to do, and therefore this child is a kosher child from the second husband. But I just don't know, is it from the first or from the second? So they cannot continue living together, because maybe it's from the first husband, it was an eishes ach sheyesh labanim, si yoytzi, but the vlad manavshach is kosher, there's no mamzeris or other issues. Since we don't know whether or not this Yavam and Yavama violated an Isser or did not violate, so they bring an Ashram Toli, and hopefully at some point in the future they'll know, but until that time they have the Ashram Toli that suspends any possible Yisurim because of the fact that they did this potential Isser. Zok Yimar, Itmar, Achilis Nemu Beretz Vehipila, which is basically the case of our Mishnah. He gave a chalitza, and then turned out that she was mu'uberes, and subsequently it was taka not a vlad shel kayama, it was a vlad shloi, ain't a vlad shel kayama. Okay, so what happens now at this point? It means that the first brother had no children, and so therefore there is a mitzvah of yibam or chalitza, and he already did a chalitza. The question is, was that chalitza effective, or do you have to do a new chalitza? You don't need a chalitza from either the choletz or from any of the brothers, because a chalitza already took place. The fact that she was muberes at that time, what difference does it make? Now we know for a fact, hey Pila, that it was not a vlad shel kayama, so therefore she did fall yibam after all to the yavam, and the yavam gave chalitza. So good, what's the problem? No, you have to have a redo. You have to have a new chalitza nevertheless. What's the reason why? We'll see in the Gemara shortly. But first, each one explains his view. chalitza is muberes, shmo chalitza, ubias muberes, shmo bia. Both the case of the chalitza and the case of the bia, they were effective. They weren't effective on the spot, because at that time, I mean, we thought that she was not muberes, and therefore we thought it was a good yibim and chalitza. A few weeks later, when we realized, she's muberes, we were very concerned that maybe the yibim and the chalitza were not effective, and in fact, if it's a bia, that they're living in sin, because of the fact that the first husband, in fact, did have a child because of the pregnancy of his wife. So we don't know. But now, 9 months later, or 6 months later, whenever it is, when unfortunately this child was a nafil, and now we realize that the brother that passed away did not leave any children. So now the question is, do you have to redo the yibum or chalitza or not? So Rabbi Yochanan says, you don't need to. Since at the time it turns out that she was muberes, that type of chalitza, that type of bia is worthless. Where is the machlekes? Rabbi Yochanan Sober, Im Yovi Eliyahu V'yoymer, Dehodi Abra Mapuli Mapla, Milav Bas Chalitza V'yibami. At the time that we discover that she's Mu'uberis, so we're all wishing the young lady, Zolam Mazel and Brucha V'atzlocha, and it should be an easy labor and an easy childbirth and the whole business. Yeah, we're all hopeful. But what happens if Eliyahu Navi would come down and would go and tell the woman and tell the husband, I want you to know, tell the Yavam, I want you to know, unfortunately, this Ibur is going to be a Nefil. So, wouldn't we all agree that she is Ru'uya to Chalitza V'yibam? Because after all, her husband passed away, Uven Einloi, and there was no Zera, no children, no Goesh. She's a Bas Chalitza V'yibam. So even though we only discovered this later on, because Eliyahu HaNavi, unfortunately, or fortunately, was busy going to many brisen, like he's going Mitchem to this morning here to Arshul, to the bris. So he was not available to be consulted on these issues. But if he would have been available, and he would have told us, we would say, sure, she's a Bas Chalitza V'yibam, because the husband passed away without any children. So Hashanami, says Rabbi Yochanan, Tegali Milsal Mafreya. Okay, at the time of the original Chalitza, or for that matter, the original Bia, they didn't know that she was Muberes. But afterwards, when they find out that she was Muberes, and afterwards when they find out that this Ibur was not a Vlachal Kayama, so it turns out, Lamafreya, that the brother passed away without any children, so the Chalitza or the Yim that was done was effective. As there's a Tribi Yochanan, the Choyr of the Svara is an Eisen Svara. Rishlokish Amar, Tegali Milzim Lamafreya, Loyam Rinan. Sorry, we don't go Lamafreya, we look at that time. At that time, it turned out that she was Muberes, and says, Rishlokish, a Chalitza or a Yibam on a Muberes is not effective, even though later on it turns out Lamafreya that it was not a Vlad Shalkayam. Based on a pasuk, it's very simple. At the time of the chalitz or yibum, we taka didn't know. Now we know 2 months, 3 months later, 6 months later, 9 months later, that the vlad is not a vlad shel kayama. So the ma'isa lastly, if he has none, nothing to talk about. So the yibum of chalitz was effective. We've had this drush already before. The ayin alav, because of the fact it could have said ein without a yud, like me'ein yivami lachum lachum sheim li ova yami, me'ein bilam halechman, whatever. You have a number of times in the Torah it says the word ein without the yud. See, here too, it could have been without the yud. By putting the yud, it's coming to tell you adrasha ayin olav. And of course, the aleph and ayin are mischalif, and you have now that yud makes it like ayin olav, ayin yud yud nun. And therefore, look to see if you find anything, any trace, any evidence at all of anything. Oh, and there is a trace of something, and that is at the moment of the yibum with the chalitza, she was muberes, and therefore stuck in out of vein. But it's ayin olav esedo epis. And therefore, that yibum with chalitza was not effective. Later on, when it turns out that there was no viable child, and therefore the brother did not leave over a ben, then we will reconsider our options, and then at that time the Yavim and the brothers will have to sit down and discuss, are we going to do Yibim, are we going to do Chalitza?
We've said earlier in Masechta that we look at the time of the death of the first brother.
Correct.
And since we're now entering this realm of doubt, will the child survive or not?
Right.
Why is this even a question? If we had a question before about the building collapses on the father and the son simultaneously, right. Did he, who if it's a question of is there a child or not, uber yerachimo, it's not a child yet. It's not a child in the world. Why is this a question? It feels inconsistent with our earlier drushas about you look at the time of the death of the husband.
You look at the time of death for purposes of tzaris, whether or not she's a tzaris erva, so that if the original erva that he was related to had already passed away prior to his passing away, or if there had been a get prior to there too, or she became we know for sure she's an islandess. All those things happened prior to the time of the passing of the husband. So then now, when he passes away, she, the second lady, was not a tzarasa erva because the erva was already out of the picture already previously. Right. So in that connection, we say we look at the nefilah. Here too, this is not. Contrary, here too, at the time that the father passed away, that the husband passed away, was there a child or was there no child? So if we know definitively that there is no child, then there would be no problem. Make a yibum, make a chalitza. However, since the Chacham say we won't know for a period of 90 days, so wait 3 months and then we'll see what the story is. Is she a bas chalitza and bas yibum or not? Unfortunately, they didn't wait, and therefore it turns out that she was pregnant. She was pregnant. If she was pregnant, she was already pregnant at the time that her husband passed away. Obviously, it wasn't nikkur, because it's not nikkur until a while thereafter, usually after 3 months. But she was when the woman becomes pregnant, she becomes pregnant right after, 24 hours, 48 hours. Anyway, so the point is, b'shas nefila, she was already pregnant at that time. Everybody agrees they should not have done a yibum chalitza, but now we're talking about a b'diavad situation, and it turns out that the child was viable, not viable, and that's the basis for this Mishnah and for our Gemara.
And the argument we've had elsewhere in Shas, uber yerach imo.
And therefore?
Therefore, it's not a child, it's not zera, it's a yerach of the mother. Until the child is born, until the moment where the child is born, his head comes out of the womb, and he's...
That's a very good point. If you look at the Amud Aleph, Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, go down 2, 4, 6, 8 lines, you'll see the line begins, Vavlad Enoi Poiter Ad Sheyetze Le'Avar Olam. Vavlad only patters from Yibam Chalitza when the child emerges. Until that point,
right,
she is still at least conceivably a bas Yibam Chalitza. But Mechum will get to that little bit further. So that is similar to the concept that you're saying. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara now, so we have a machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, whether or not a yibum v'chalitza on an ishim u'uberes that subsequently is mapil, was that an effective yibum chalitza or not? So now the Gemara is going to bring kama v'kama rayas from our Mishnah back and forth, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Eisver, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. It says in the Mishnah, ein havlad shel kayomo. That's how we started. Not we didn't start. That was the second case in the Mishnah. That if the Vlad is not shel kayama, so therefore she was re'uya liyibum v'chalitza. What did it say in the Mishnah? Who also b'krei v'seya? V'yasur b'krei v'av u'paslam in akuhuna. So let's think about this for a moment. There was a chalitza that was performed when the lady was muberes. We didn't know she was muberes, but we found out subsequently she was muberes. And what happened? And the Vlad was not a Vlad shel kayama. So therefore that whole ibur turned out was really nothing. Unfortunately, there was no ben. So therefore the husband that passed away without children. And therefore one has to make either yibum or chalitza. Says in our Mishnah, Upasal Medekahuna, the chalitza that was done at the outset was effective to passel her from a koyin. Freitimar Bishlam, according to me. Meaning Rabbi Yochanan, the Amina Chalitzas, Uberet Shmo Chalitza, that's the Chalitza that took place incorrectly. But we did it. And we turned out that the wife was, or the Yavamu was, Muberet. It was an effective Chalitza. Shemhachi Pasla. That's why there is a psul. Why is there a psul? For this very reason, because the Chalitza was a valid, effective Chalitza, and therefore you won't have to make a new Chalitza. We're done. I did a Chalitza. Elidach, according to you, Rish Lakish, Amris Chalitza Muberes, Leishma Chalitza, and my Pasam and Akuna. This whole Chalitza was totally invalid, ineffective, irrelevant, Gunish mit Gunish. So why should be Pasam and Akuna? Amalei says Rish Lakish, Midrabanan ulchumra be'alma. You're right, Mitzat Ikradin, this Chalitza was worthless. The only reason why we're saying that she's Pasam and Akuna is because of Exeter Drabanan. What's Exeter Drabanan? If you look in the Rashi, Ulechumra, Midrabanu Ulechumra, it's about 4 or 5 lines into the narrow lines. Dilma Osilam Mishe Chalutza Lekahuna, Tlo Yavi Dehav Muberes. in subsequent years with subsequent Yavams and Yavamas. After all, Yibam and Chalitz is not a daily event. It only happens fairly rarely, Baruch Hashem. Most couples, Baruch Hashem, have children, and even if they don't, Chas V'Shalom, they usually live together for many, many years, etc. So Chalitz is not such a common event. So what happens if there is now a woman that got a Chalitza, and now there's a kohen interested in marrying her? So someone will say, I remember that many years ago I was at a Chalitza itself, I was there and I saw it and I participated, and guess what happened? And I remember that subsequently a kohen went and married her. I was there at the Chalitza, I was there at the marriage, and then we're talking about Choshev Rabbanim that were there, and they knew what they were doing, and the only thing he did not realize was that it turned out that that Chalitza was not a valid Chalitza because it was a Chalitza on a Mubaris. He didn't know about that. You know, how was he supposed to know? So bottom line is, a mistake can occur as a result, and therefore the Chacham said, even though it was not an effective Chalitza, but it looked like a Chalitza, it smelled like a Chalitza, it acted like a Chalitza, so we're going to give it the din of a Chalitza, l'chumra ba'alma, don't let a Kohen marry him. But me'ikar din, there's no problem. Ikari Amri, there's another Lashon, just the opposite. It wasn't that Rabbi Yochanan asked Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan from the very same case. Eis Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, says in the Mishnah, Ein Ablad Shal Kiyama, Hu Yasur B'Krei Viseo, Mi Yasur B'Krei Vav, U Pasla Min HaKahuna, says now Reish Lakish, Bishlam L'Didi, Da Min HaChalitzes Mubaris, Lo Yishma Chalitza, Haim Diktani Pasla Min HaKahuna, L'Chumra, like I said a moment ago, really Me'ikar Adin, this Chalitza was nothing. But L'Chumra, because of future cases of people who make a mistake. V'leiktoni, what it could have said and should have said, according to you, Rabbi Yochanan, ein etzricha chalitza min ha'achid. It should have said, legabe this case, where it turned out that she was muberes, and then that nebach she lost her child. If this chalitza was a bona fide chalitza, because chalitza is muberes, shma chalitza, like Rabbi Yochanan is saying, shouldn't the Mishnah have spelled that out and said very clearly, even though it turned out at the time she was a Mubaris, and we had to wait several months to figure out what the story was, she doesn't need a new Chalitza, because the first Chalitza was effective. Rabbi Yochanan is right, Chalitza Mubaris, Shema Chalitza. But it doesn't say that. Rather it says, Pasla Min HaKahuna. El Didach, Ein Etzricha Chalitza Min Achen Mi Boyalei. L'Chayrit should have said that very direct, so that we would know what the principal major halacha is, not a secondary halacha, L'Gabi the Kuhuna, should say. Chalitza was good, you don't need a new Chalitza. Amalei says, Rabbi Yochanan Chanami, it could have said that, and it, maybe it should have said it. But I need the Tanur Reisha, since the first case in the Mishnah said, in the case of the Chalitza where the Vlad was a Vlad Shel Kayam, and therefore the Chalitza was nothing, said the Mishnah Vlei Pasim Ben HaKahuna, nothing to worry about, it's not a Chalitza. After all, the husband, the first husband, left over Baruch Hashem Zera. He left over a Ben, so no problem. Vlei Pasim Ben HaKahuna. Obviously, over here, we're not going to go and say tzricha or ain't tzricha chalitza, because there's no possibility of chalitza or of yibam, because it's a vlad shel kiyama, and therefore it's an eishes achshi eish labana. So since we use the expression lepasul menakuna for consistency and style, Rabbeinu Kodesh said, in this case, pasul menakuna, but ain't a chanami, what the Mishnah could have said was, ain't a tzricha chalitza menachem, like I hold like Rabbi Yechana. So therefore, I did ton of reish lepasul, ton of seif lepasul. Fine. Conclusion of that discussion. I'll ask you another kasha. And now we're talking about the Yibam case as opposed to the Chalitza case. What did it say in the Mishnah? What happens? Hakoinis is Yibam Toy. Venims is Muberes. And then it turns out that the Vlad was not a Vlad Shel Kayama. It says in the Mishnah, Yekayim, that the Chosin, meaning the Yavam, is allowed to go and keep his Yavama, because the child that we discussed that she was Muberes with, unfortunately, or fortunately, whichever way you look at it, unfortunately, Nebuch became a Nefil, and therefore the Yavam can hold on to his Yavama. So that sounds very much like Rabbi Yochanan, right? Because it was a Yibam, and the Yibam was good in Yekayim. As Eitz Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, Ein Avlad Shal Kiyom Yekayim. Bishlam L'Didam Min HaChalitza Muberi Shema Chalitza. And Biyas Muberi Shema Biyah Mishma Chiktan Yekayim. They did an effective Yibam, an effective Biyah, and he holds on to her. In other words, you don't have to do anything further. Eli Dach got a Jewish law, because the Amis Chalitza Muberes Loishma Chalitza. Ubias Muberes Loishma Bia. Yachzer, Viyiva, Viyakayami Boile. The Chayrit should go and say that this Yavim should go and perform a second Bia, because the first Bia was not effective. Bias Muberes Loishma Bia. Why did it say Yekayim? Says Rish Lakish, Mayikayim Yachzer V'Yivo V'Yikayim. You have to add the two words on the side, Balavachi. That Enechanami, there would be a requirement that he should go and be boiled once again. And when it says in the Mishnah, Yikayim, that's what it means. Yikayim doesn't mean that they should go and put up a sign, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. The Yikayim means that he should be boiled again and continue their marriage so that you will have an effective Yibam, because the Yibam until now was worthless. So this was the Kash Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish's answer. Ikri Amri, once again we reverse it. Eitzvei Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan. Ein of Lash Lokiyama, Yikayim. It says in the Mishnah, Yikayim. It's Mishnah Lidi, according to me, Rish Lakish. Damina Chalitza Muberes, Loishma Chalitza. Ubias Muberes, Loishma Bia, Hangitani Yikayim. What does the word Yikayim mean? Yachzer, the Yivel, the Yikayim. Tolisagi Belavachi. That's the minimum that we have to do to reestablish the connection between this Yavam and the Yavama. You have to do a new Bia, you have to do a new Kiyam, a new Yibam, if you will. Elidach, according to you, Rabbi Yochanan, Rotzi Yoitzi, Rotzi Yikayim Yibayale. At this point, since it turns out that the child was that of Lachal Kayama, and since it turns out that this Yavam did a Yibam, and that Yibam at that time says, Rish Lakish was not effective, Bias Muberes, Lo Ishma Bia, according to you that it was effective, so now he has all his options available to him. If he wants, he can be Mekayim and say, yes, I want to continue living with you, sure. Or if he wants, he can go and Rotzi Yoitzi, because after all, according to you, the original Yibam was effective, Ishtre L'chol Dover. So if he wants Rotzi Yoitzi, Rashi says, would be with a get. Or if he wants to go and continue living with her, Ratza Yikayimi Boile. According to me, Reish Lakish, it can only say in the Mishnah, Yachzer V'Yivo V'Yikayim, which is packaged and truncated into word Yikayim. That's fine, because it would not be Shayach a get over here. It would have to be either a Chalitza or a Yibam, but you couldn't be talking about a get. But according to you, Rabbi Yochanan, that this was an effective Yibam after all. Ishtlechodover, Ratza Yoitzi, Yotze Yikayimi Boile. Zok Yimoris, so vos emphatir, Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Achanam, 100% right. I did turn a Reisha Yoitzi in the case of when it turns out that the Vlad was a Ben Kayama, so therefore the Yavam did not do an effective Yibam, and he has no right to continue living with the Yavama because of the din that she's an Eishes Ach, she Yesh Labon, and Mamish, she has a Vlad Shakriyam. So there it says in the Mishnah Yoitzi. So Nami Seifi Yikayim, again, for symmetry, for stylistic purposes, we use the same term, but you're right. It would have been perhaps preferable to go and say, Rotze Yoitzi, Rotze Yikayim. Vreitimor Meisvei. How could you see Vemtim and Imtis Mu'uberes? Now, this is not the Mishnah anymore. Now we're asking from a Braisa.
Who's asking who now?
Yeah? The Gemara is asking, and we're going to address both of Yech and Rish Lakish. We're going to see whether we have a right to one against the other.
Okay.
We have a Braisa. How could you see Vemtim and Imtis Mu'uberes? Like the case of our mission, it turns out the Yibam is Muberes. Harizu loiti nasi tzarasa, the Torah should wait and not remarry. Shem yehei vlad ben kayama. So let's think about this for a moment. Under normal circumstances, when there's a Yibam, then of course, as soon as the Yibam is over for one of the women that were affected by this Yibam Chalitza situation, so the Torah, of course, is immediately allowed to go and remarry, because of the fact that bayis echad aram amrachmana v'leishtei batzim. So you can't have multiple tzoreis being nisyabim through either the same yavam or through multiple yavam, only one of them, and then the others go on muteris l'shuk. Okay, so in the normal circumstances, the kindness of yavamtoi, she's allowed to remarry. Now we discover she hasn't remarried yet, she's presumably looking for an appropriate shidduch, and in the meantime we find out that the Yavama was Muberes. So then we call up the Torah and say, Torah, no, don't get married. You know why? Shem Yehei Vlad ben Kayama. Maybe the Vlad that she is Mu'uber with will turn out to be a Vlad ben Kayama. So now let's think about this for a moment. Shem Yehei Vlad ben Kayama. So what will happen if the Vlad is a ben Kayama? It turns out then that neither the Tzara nor the Yavama
needed anything.
So if that's the case, that's the reason why the Tzara should not remarry now, because maybe the Vlad will be a Vlad ben Kayama. It should be the other way around. Maybe the Vlad will not be a ben Kayama.
She should be trapped still with Zika.
And she'll be trapped with Zika, and therefore you cannot go and marry just anybody out in the street. You're not Muteris Lashuk. So Tzara loitinasi, don't remarry until we have clarity whether the child is going to be a ben kayama or not a ben kayama. Because if Vlad is not a ben kayama, then you're going to fall liyibam to the brothers. So that lechoyra is the reason why loyti nase. So freitimar adrava ki havi havlad ben kayama nifta tirasa. When the vlad, if and when miyetsin the vlad is going to be a ben kayama, so then she's taka potter, and then that would be every good reason why she should be able to go and remarry. That's not a reason not to remarry mutar lishuk. That's a reason why she can and she is mutar lishuk. Says Imar, lechoyra you're right, and therefore the brisa seems to be erroneous. Ela Eima, let's go make a slight modification. Just add one word. Not Shem Yehe Vlad Ben Kayama, Ela Shem Lo Yehe Vlad Ben Kayama. May the child will not survive. And see if the Vlad will not survive, then you do for Liyibam, and therefore don't get remarried. So Kimara, Visal Kedaita. Thank you. If he is Olkedaita, Bias Muberes, Shema Bia. If you tell me that the Bia that already took place was an effective beer, Amai Leitinase Tzerasa, why shouldn't she be able to go and remarry? Tipater be beer shall chaver tov. So what the Gemara is asking is, according to Rabbi Yoichanan, the Bias Muberes, Shema Bia, Lechoyre Mimanavshach, this Tzara can go and remarry. Why Mimanavshach? If it turns out that the Vlad is not a Ben Kayama, and therefore they did fall Liyibim Ulechalitza. Guess what? Her Tzara
took care of and released her.
Was already released her by the fact that she was already Nisiyabim through the Yoga. Elamai, if you're going to tell me it will be a Vlad Ben Kayama, then she's free to remarry anyway, right, because the original husband
had children,
so she didn't fall to Yim Chalitza.
No zika whatsoever.
So the Choyret Shver on Rabbi Yochanan, Ashtar Kekash, and the man of Shach, she should be able to continue looking for a Shidduch and remarrying as soon as possible. If the original husband had children, then she's Mutaris Lashuk. And if he didn't have a child, and it turns out, an Ein Vlad Ben Kayama, no, the other Tzara already had the benefit of Yibim, so she becomes free. So Abaye says, this is such a convincing, conclusive raya, I have to go and change the machlokes slightly. If one of the brothers was miyabim, one of the women, that yibim was not effective. Because everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yochanan agrees, that the yibum, or the what's the lashon gemara, the bias muberes lav shmabia, it was not effective, and that's why we say to the tzara, let's wait and see what happens. So is machlokes b'liyim bechalitza. Oh, that's where the machlokes is. If yechon serve chalitza is muberes shmo chalitza, and therefore you will not have to redo the chalitza if it turned out that the isha muberes lost her child, and therefore there was a chiyav of yibum chalitza after all. But he already did a chalitza. It's misbar lemafreya that this woman was not muberes. She means she was physically muberes, but not with a viable, not successfully, not with a viable child. So therefore, the chalitza was great. But bias muberes loish muberes. That I agree from the strength of that brisa, says Abaye, have no choice. That's Rabbi Yochanan must hold. Shlokish savar bias muberes loish mubia. That already everybody agrees to. Machlokes lagab the chalitza, and chalitza muberes also loish machalitza. So therefore, the machlokes is now much more limited, not by buya, not both by yibam and by chalitza, only by chalitza alone. Obviously, we cannot ask Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. This is already talking about the times of Abaye Verava, a later generation. So the Abaye is saying that's what Rabbi Yochanan obviously must have held, and therefore there's no machlokes lagabi buya, only lagabe chalitza. Omle Rava, so Rava says to Abaye, my dear colleague, mamanavshach. Ibias muberes shmo bia, chalitza muberes shmo chalitza. Ibias muberes loy shmo bia, chalitza muberes nami loy shmo chalitza. Why do I say that the two are really a package deal? Don't we have that famous rule? That the two work hand in hand. That if the bia would have helped, then the chalitza would help. But if the bia doesn't help, then the chalitza doesn't help. So how can you learn pshat like that? So according to Reish Lakish, it's fine. But it's a chvayt shver on Rabbi Yochanan. How does Rabbi Yochanan distinguish between the chalitza that he says chalitza uberes shmo chalitza, the bia uberes lo shmo bia? Isn't it ha toli b'ha? And therefore el amarav hachi kama. We have to rewrite the brice again. Hakoynis yivemtoy v'nims is muberes. Your person did a yibam, and afterwards it turns out that yivamu was muberes. Harzeli tunasi tzirasa. she should not remarry. Why shouldn't she remarry? Shemi Yehei Vlad Ben Kayama. Maybe the Vlad will be a Ben Kayama. In other words, we're going back to the original Girsa of the Braisa. And if the Vlad is a Vlad Ben Kayama, so then what happens over here? So let's think about this again for a moment. If the Vlad was a Vlad Ben Kayama, then the original Yibam that was done was not effective, because in fact there was no Zika whatsoever.
It was unnecessary.
It was unnecessary.
It was actually a mistake.
It was a terrible boo-boo. They're both going to have to bring a carbon because it's a terrible shagig that they did. And therefore, what's going to be, since we had a Vlad ben Kayama from the first wife, from the first husband, and therefore they didn't fall to Yibam, and didn't fall to Chalitza, so now, why can't the Tzara remarry? I don't understand why she can't go and remarry. After all, Shem Yehei Vlad Ben Kayama. Oh, but it's only Shema. Oh, we don't know for sure. Oh, so we're not finished yet. So maybe the Vlad Ben Kayama, and then L'choyre, she should be able to remarry. On the other hand, Obias Muberes Loishem Abia, V'chalitza Muberes Loishem Chalitza. Maybe it's going to turn out that Vlad will not be a Ben Kayama, and there was a Yibam that was performed, but that Yibam that was performed was worthless. As well as if there was... I'm sorry?
Yeah.
According to Slavers. Well, this is why Rava is interpreting the Braisa. He's interpreting the Braisa. The Tzara should go and wait to see how developments develop, how events develop. Then what? Let's see what happens. Is it going to be a Vlad ben Kayama or Vlad Shena Kayama? Maybe it's going to be a Vlad ben Kayama. If it's a Vlad ben Kayama, the Choyer, she should be able to go and remarry. But as the Gemara concludes in another line, Vavlad ein a poiter ad sheyetze la'aviro oilam. At this moment, nothing has happened. Because the Torah says, Uven ein lo, there's got to be a ben. Until there's a ben, and a fetus is gonish. It's got to be a viable ben. Presumably, not only yetze la'aviro oilam, maybe until after 30 days, but the Gemara doesn't go into that. Maybe we'll go into that tomorrow. But anyway, the point is, so therefore, you're not potter yet until we know for sure that there's a viable blood. See, then you're saying to yourself, okay, so if there's a viable blood, eventually we'll know that I happen to be Baruch Hashem Muteres Neshuk. If I'm Muteres Neshuk, so why can't I go and remarry? So you gotta wait until the Vlad. Alright, but in the meantime, let's assume that the Vlad will not be a Vlad Ben Kayama. Guess what? My co-wife has already been Nisyabim, so therefore for that reason I should be free. No,
it's like being a korban in the middle of the night.
Exactly right. So that's how we're going to redefine this Braisa. It says the Mariat, let's look at the second line of the Rashi, Shem Yehei HaVlad Shel Kayama Bias Muberes, the Vlad Shel Kayama LeDivri HaKoyl Loish Mubia. Obviously everybody agrees it's a Vlad Shel Kayama, then that Bia was Kunish. The time of the Rabbi Yochim Shem Shema Yobi Eliyo V'Yoyma Nefel Hava Vacha Lekel HaMeimer Hachi, because the Vlad is Baruch Hashem a full, a gesund, viable child. V'Vlad in a point that she is Avra Oilam. So at this moment, you cannot, the Tzora cannot do anything. She's got to wait and see what happens. If it turns out that the Vlad will be a Vlad Ben Kayama, then she'll be able to go. But not now, even if the doctors say it's guaranteed it's going to be a great
healthy baby.
A wonderful baby. You got to wait. She eats the Avra Oilam, so she got to go and wait. Tani Kibosi Derava, Hakunis Yvemtai, Venimtis Muberis, Harizu Loiti Nosei, Sarasa. The Torah should not remarry. Shem Yehei Vlad Ben Kayama, the Vlad will be Baruch Hashem, a great child. Vein Bia V'Chalitza Poiteres. And the Bia V'Chalitza that the other Yavim does is worthless, because it's going to be a Vlad Ben Kayama. Ella Vlad Poiter. What's going to go and free her from the Zika?
Right.
The Vlad. So we have a direct raya to Rava, and we're going to continue tomorrow from Taima de Shema. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael's argument.